and Gurumahaguch at Koch tonight on Arena. Cillian Murphy and Max Porter on their new film Steve, Natalie Haynes on her novel No Friend to This House, and Gerard Smith on the late poet Gerald Dahl. As usual, you can contact us on text 51551, email arena@rte.ie, and we are on Instagram these days at @rte_arena. Steve is a gritty new drama opening in cinemas on Friday and on Netflix next week. Adapted from Max Porter's 2023 novella Shy, it stars Cillian Murphy, who also co-produces. The film explores themes of toxic masculinity and mental health as it follows a pivotal day at a reform school for troubled teenage boys in 90s Britain. The story focuses on the head teacher, Steve, played by Cillian Murphy, as he struggles to keep the school open because of limited resources and a chaotic environment. It also highlights a troubled student, Shy, played by Jay Lycurgo, who's grappling with violent tendencies and inner fragility. Steve also stars Tracy Ullman, Lil Sims and Emily Watson. Earlier, I spoke to Cillian Murphy and writer Max Porter about the film, but first, here's a clip from Steve. Steve approaches Riley, one of the students, played by Joshua J. Parker, about an incident at the school.
He's fitted him off. That's sexual assault.
Okay, Riley, I'm going to say something now to you, and you're probably going to roll your eyes.
Oh, you're better than this, Riley.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. But if you raise your fist at me or another member of staff ever again, then you're gone. You're out of here. Okay? I'm here for you. All right, I'm here for you. Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, let's go. More focus, less fighting, yeah?
That is a scene from Steve, and I'm joined now by its star Cillian Murphy and writer Max Porter. Max, I'm going to start with you. You're the writer of the novel and of the screenplay as well, but the perspective gets flipped from the focus being on Shy in the book when I read it to being Steve here. Talk to me a little bit about the thought process behind that.
Well, we wanted to work together. I wanted to write a decent, meaty part for a fractured and unhappy middle-aged Irish bloke, by coincidence. But also, you know, the novella wasn't adaptable in any conventional sense because it's all inside his mind and there's so many flashbacks. It's a kind of polyphonic effort. So decisions had to be made about where you would put it and who would be the centre of gravity. And we've both been really interested in some of the responses to that novel from teachers, carers, you know, foster parents, that kind of person. We thought it was a really good, meaty thing to jump into and rebuild everything from, leave the novel behind and rebuild something new.
Cillian, in terms of the production, there's an awful lot of people involved in this who are involved in small things like these as well, co-producer, director, production designer, even Emily Watson. Did that make filming easier? Does that mean you've got a sort of shorthand amongst yourselves?
Yes, absolutely. And I'm a big advocate of, you know, re-collaboration and finding that, unspoken trust that happens when you work over a number of years with people who you consider friends and whose work you admire. And I've been doing that for a long, long time. And it's just the way I'm wired. And for me, it makes it easier to access the work. I also feel that it makes you easier to be, to be a bit more exposed, a bit more vulnerable, be a bit more dangerous in your choices when you know that you're going to be looked after. I've been looked after creatively and emotionally and every other way. So I'm really lucky to have this group of artists that I like to work with over and over again. And long may it continue. Well, not too long. I mean, not when we're like ridiculously ancient, but, you know,
I neglected to mention Max in that as well, because this is obviously far from the first time the two of you've worked together as well.
That's right. Yeah, we've been working pretty consistently now for quite a while, and it's been a brilliant journey. And we have we share an awful lot of interests, and again, I think that just deepens the work.
I've tried falling out with him, Rick, but
no success.
No, nothing yet.
There's time.
Max, the film's based in 1996. Is that a specifically important year?
Well, we nudged it forward a year from 1995 in the book. The book came about because once I decided that Shai's despair would need to be tethered to something very, very joyful in order to make him a credible teenage boy and also someone I could really feel and understand and tell the truth about, then I decided on the drum and bass and jungle as an obsession, as a kind of access to the infinite for him, and really ultimately a path out of the darkness for him. So that was a big thing. The culture, a lot of it was to do with trying to write these boys, these so-called, you know, disruptors, the social ecosystem that they live in without mobile phones and before social media. But also I thought I might be able to better tell the truth about the moment we're in now in terms of, you know, a major systemic crisis in education, but also in social care with a bit of distance, you know, like a little historical drama that's not too far in the past.
And Killian, we probably have to talk about Jay Lycurgo, who plays Shai in this, because it's a great performance. How was that process of weaning down a large number of candidates to get to him? What sealed the deal?
Well, yeah, we did. I think we saw over like 3,500 kids to find our motley crew of kids in the film. But the most important one was obviously Shai, casting Shai. And it was immediate for all of us when we saw Jay's tape. He's just magnetic on screen. He has that real depth to his performance. He's a very, very soulful actor. Incredible instincts. You know, you can't really learn that stuff. You can hone it, but you kind of just have it.
Please tell me, you know, it's not all right to be out here at like breakfast time getting fully baked.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
No, I... Dark,
yeah.
It's quite hard, isn't it?
It's hard. Yeah, it's so hard.
Well, like, I prefer when it gets a bit more... when it's spacier and the synths and all that.
Love it.
Yeah. I'll actually get into that. So how are you doing? I've been worried about you.
I just feel a bit more like Bob Wyatt and... Slippy, you know?
Yeah. Well, you're top of my list today, right? So we'll find a time to chat.
And by a wonderful coincidence, his dad is a headmaster in an alternative education institution in London. So he works with these kids day in, day out. So Jay grew up around this world. So it was mad that when he told us that. He told us that after we cast him, not before.
You presumably brought a little of something of that to the table as well. Your family's full of teachers as well, isn't it?
Yes, it definitely feels like it was a big part of my life. It's certainly in the background without me knowing it. Do you know what I mean? And I think as I've gotten older, I've just began to really kind of become more in awe of how my parents did it. Like both of them working, both of them teaching all day long and then coming home and looking after four of us. For the rest of the day, and it's a calling, you know. It really is to be a great teacher, to give that much. It is vocational, and I think I just took it all for granted when I was a young fellow. I just wanted, I don't know, I you know, you just don't. Your parents are just there. You don't quite understand what they do when they leave the house fully until you're older.
You just wanted to not necessarily end up in their class.
No, I did not. But I got plenty of grinds at home to make up for it.
Max, I wanted to ask you about how Steve, it follows hot on the heels of Adolescence, winning very big at the weekend in the Emmys. Do you think that stories like this that are centred around young, troubled men and kind of connected to toxic masculinity, is it important those stories are told?
I think so. I mean, equally important are stories about young women, and people are doing some great work in that area too. But, you know, it is evidently... if you look at, you know, our assortment of world leaders and tech billionaires, men appear to be the problem. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of questions to be asked about, you know, early years and interventions and state ideology and everything. But ultimately, what might be missing, in my opinion, from that political and ideological space is an insistence on compassion. So yeah, it's relatively uncomplicated in that regard as a plea for empathy and for hard, difficult work and you know, these are the people that literally hold our society together and save lives. So yeah, the question of sort of toxic masculinities or vulnerable masculinities or whatever can't be done without the voices of women, and the women in this film are obviously profoundly important to it, to its heart and to the way that this school is able to function.
They are hugely complicated, intricate human beings who require enormous amounts of what we'd now call special educational care. It's exhausting, complicated, demanding work, and it's just destroying us. We are underpaid, we're understaffed, we're chronically under-resourced. I am part prison guard, I'm part nurse, I'm part battle axe, I'm part mummy, I'm part, you know, you get me.
Yeah.
Unofficial answer?
Go on.
I fucking adore them.
The problem of what do we do with these so-called broken boys is urgent. It needs addressing. I don't know. I'm sure the statistics are equally terrifying in Ireland, but in the UK, the greatest cause of death among young people under 30 is suicide. Lots of the most insightful and excited responses we've had to this movie have come from mental health charities. And we didn't want to be too schematic or plan that or anticipate that too much, but we are mighty glad that's come to be the case.
I want to ask you, Killian, about being a producer on this film, because you did help get this film be made in the first place. Does the Best Actor Oscar for Oppenheimer, does that give you a greater kind of leverage to make films like this that you care about?
If it does, I will absolutely embrace it and take it. I think that, I get asked this quite a bit, and I think you're the types of work that I wanted to make and that interests me was formed quite a long time ago, you know, because I'm like doing this nearly 30 years and, you know, for example, like small things like these, the script was written and done and ready to go before I went off and shot Oppenheimer. And this came together, you know, during all of that stuff. So it's not as a result of, but if it helps, then I'll, like I said, I'll embrace that. But, you know, I have to acknowledge Netflix in this equation. Like we gave Anne Mensah, the head of Netflix UK, we gave her the script over the course of a weekend and she said yes immediately. And, you know, that shows a real confidence in the types of stories we want to tell, the types of story that Netflix want to tell in this instance. And you know, if this film connects, we've got a potential for actually hundreds of millions of people to see it. And that's kind of hard to fathom, really.
Just one final question before I let you go. Robert Redford passed away yesterday. Killian, your thoughts on him and on the legacy he left behind, particularly with the Sundance Film Festival, maybe, and what that meant to independent film?
Oh, yeah, it's a very sad day. It was very sad to hear the news. An absolute cinematic icon and who you know, made wonderful films as an actor and a director, and then really created this whole movement, which was there to support independent cinema. And he believed very strongly in the power of independent cinema, and the festival lives on as a testament to him.
Max Porter and Killian Murphy, thanks so much for joining me on tonight's Arena.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. I think we've always been honest with each other. I can tell there's something up with you, and all I want for you to do is to just use us. You know, use the people here that care for you. Speak to us. Just me or Amanda or even the lads. Whoever. Because you're not alone, Shai. That's the whole point.
And that's Killian Murphy in the role of Steve from the film of the same name. It's in cinemas this Friday. It'll be released on Netflix on October 3rd, and we'll be reviewing Steve here on Arena tomorrow night.